We're holding on page Nun Bays in Tynus, near the beginning of Oes Popeiae, about four lines into it. We learned yesterday what Rabbi Yochanan had said about why rain is held back. So now the Gemara brings another statement, some more statements and some more episodes involving Rabbi Yochanan. But Amr Rabbi Yochanan, my dichtiv aser to aser. The pasuk says, a double lashon aser to aser. So why the double lashon means aser b'shvil tishetis asher, give miser in order that you will become rich. So in other words, Marsha says there are two ways of explaining it. Number one, to aser we can darshan, in other words, as if it was in a shin, and therefore it was if it said to asher, or it can still mean meloshin miser. And the point is, you give miser aser, you give miser of your own, and you will have this chus in the future to give more and more miser of your own. Tosfos brings over here from Sifri. First of all, we know you have the concept of miser of produce, but in addition, you also have the concept of miser of ksafim, of money. And in fact, the Sifri says we learn that also. We learn that from when it says eskol, aser to aser, eskol tvoas sarecha, that includes also the concept of miser ksafim. We know that goes all the way back to Yaakov, you know, aser to aser, aser and uloch. So it's actually, there's a discussion among poskim whether that's also deraisa or whether it's derabon. Yeah, my six of them. There is a further discussion when Rabbi Yochanan is saying over here that Asu b'shvil tishasher, and the Gemara is going to go on to say that it's the one thing that you're allowed to test Hashem with. There's a big discussion among the poskim. Does that in fact apply only to Meiser of produce, or does it also apply to my six of them, that you're also allowed to test Hashem in that way? On the other hand, actually, interestingly, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says on the contrary, not only it definitely doesn't apply to Maiser Ksafim, he says it doesn't even apply to Maiser of things that are only Chayav Drabbanon, such as vegetables, and according to some Rishonim, most kinds of fruits, only the ones that are Chayav Minatoda, which according to Rashi and Tosfos are grain, grapes, and olives, and according to the Rambam, all tree fruits. Anyway, so according to Rabbi Yaakov Emden, you have a mitzvah of giving miser from the money you make, of course. But he says this asher, the shvil shetis asher, does not necessarily apply to that. And there are poskim before him who say maybe it applies to miser of produce only in general produce, but not necessarily to miser of money. And then there are those who say it also applies to that. Tosfos also, what? I'm saying there are different opinions on the subject. The Alter Rebbe says something else. The Alter Rebbe says, even though Al Pi Shulchan Aruch, you're not supposed to give more than one fifth, but you can while you're doing it for the sake of tshuva, because the Alter Rebbe says the same way as you would spend all the money you had for a cure for your body, the same way you would for a cure for your neshama. That's something else altogether. That has nothing to do with Aser Mishvil Tshasher. That's another matter. Tosfos brings over here the famous story in this connection of a yid who had a field which every year would produce 1,000 quart of grain, and every year he would give 100 of it for miser like he's supposed to, and then he tells his son before he passes away to make sure to be careful with that also, and the son after a while starts getting careless with it and starts playing games with it and figuring I don't have to give 100, it's good enough to give 90, and the next year it produces only 900, and then he says, well, now I only have to give 80, and it goes down the next year 800, and then gradually over the years until the field is only producing 100. And then at that point, his relatives come all dressed up in yomtiv clothes. He says, what are you doing? You're trying to celebrate my misfortune? They say, no, actually, we want to congratulate you. Used to be the Eibishter was the recipient and you were the balabas giving it to him. Now you've been upgraded. Now you're the Kohen who's receiving the Meiser from Hashem. So he understood what they're getting at, and he pledged that from now on he's going to be careful with Meiser. So therefore, in other words, the point is the flip side of it, the same way as we're saying over here, Asir, Shvil Shetisasher, the flip side is also true. If a person does not give his Meiser properly, then he'll have the opposite of Ashivas. In fact, the Rif discusses over here, the Rif here on Ein Yaakov discusses here in some detail that maybe indeed this promise of Asher b'shvil tishasher, he says, after all, look, I mean, if the idea is you give miser and then you're going to be rich, shouldn't we find that all the farmers in Eretz Yisrael back in the day and now also would be rich on the basis of that? All of them are giving all of fine during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. We find the Amei Oretz weren't always careful, but earlier than that, we find they were careful. So why weren't they all rich? So he says, maybe Taka, this Asher b'shvil tishasher, he says, maybe when you have somebody like in that story where he'd been careless with it for a while and now he's doing tshuva, then the Eibishter to motivate him will help him Asher b'shvil tishasher and make up for what he lost over the years, but not necessarily if he was always careful with it. Anyway, Gemara says, Ashkechei Rabbi Yochanan liyinuka de Rish Lakish. One time Rabbi Yochanan met up with Rish Lakish's son. Now we learn in Bava, we learn in Bava Metzia. We have the whole story over there. It was a couple of weeks ago in Daf Yomi of how Rabbi Yochanan made Rish Lakish into a Baal Teshuva and taught him Torah and he became an Adam Gadol. But then eventually, the end of the story over there is that Rish Lakish passed away under very tragic circumstances sometime before Rabbi Yochanan. So now Rabbi Yochanan is alive and Rish Lakish has already passed away. Well, the second story that we're going to have over here is after Rish Lakish passed away. The first one, maybe not necessarily. Anyway. Rabbi Yochanan gave his sister in marriage to Rish Lakish. Yeah. So this boy would be Rabbi Yochanan's nephew. Yeah. So anyway, so Rabbi Yochanan one time saw him. Omalei emali psukach. So he tells him, tell me what pasuk you just learned. Omalei aser to aser. So the kid tells him that he just learned this pasuk. So Rabbi Yochanan asks, my aser to aser. So what is the meaning of that pasuk? And he tells him, omalei aser b'shvil shetes asher, that just what we just said, give maaser in order that you'll become rich. Omalei menolach. So Rabbi Yochanan asks, how do you know that? How do we know that that is the actual meaning of the pasuk aser to aser, rather than just say, for example, it could be dibra Torah kaloshim ne'adam. The Torah often uses double expressions like that because that was the style of speaking at that time. There are other drushes we learn from it. We learn that there are different kinds of maestris of different kinds of produce. There also there's maeser rishon and maeser sheni, and in some years maeser oni, and also that you have that instead of maeser you can give up to a choymesh. There are many different things that we learn from this double expression aser to aser. So Rabbi Yochanan asks the boy, what makes you say dafka, that means aser b'shvil shetes asher? Omalei, so the kid answers, zil masi. Go ahead and try it out, and you'll see, it works. Omalei, so Rabbi Yochanan asks him, mishori l'nasuya l'akadosh baruch hu, how are you, since when are you allowed to test Hashem? V'haksiv loisen nasu es Hashem. The pasuk says, don't test Hashem. You're not allowed to do mitzvahs saying, I'm going to do this mitzvah in order that Hashem should do such and such. You have, of course, the higher level that klal you shouldn't even be expecting. You shouldn't even be doing it for the schar. I'll tell you, kavodim, ha'masham shen esad ava manas l'kavod pras. But at least, you're allowed to figure there will be a schar, and you have to know there is a schar, but you're not allowed to test Hashem and say, I'm doing this mitzvah, and if Hashem gives me the schar, then good, and if not, then I regret ever doing it, or something like that. You can't do that with mitzvahs. So what do you mean, zil nasi? What do you mean, go try it out? So the boy answers him. Actually, it's the other way around. So my aser to aser. He says aser b'shvil shetes asher. Omalei menolach. So he says, where do you get this from? Omalei zil nasi. Omalei. So yeah, he asks me shori the nasuye laKodesh Baruch Hu. So it's the boy. I had it backwards. The boy asking. Sorry. So to begin with, actually, it was I had the people over here mixed up who said what. Rashi explains it started with that when the boy said that I learned aser to aser, he asked Rabbi Yochanan, I just learned this pasuk aser to aser. What does it actually mean? I've learned the pasuk, but I don't understand the full meaning of it. So Rabbi Yochanan tells him aser b'shvil shetes asher. Omalei. So the boy asks him menolach. Where do you get that from? Omalei. So Rabbi Yochanan is the one who tells him zil masi. Go ahead and try it out. So the boy asks, "Omalei mishorer the nasuya laKadosh Baruch Hu? Are you allowed to test Hashem? V'oksiv loisen nasu es Hashem? And given that that pasuk is in Parshas Vayeshanan, and aser to aser is in Re'eh, so by the time he's already learned aser to aser, he's already learned previously loisen nasu es Hashem, and he's familiar with that pasuk." Omalei, so Rabbi Yochanan tells him, "Hachi Amar Rabbi Hoshea, you should know this is what Rabbi Hoshea said. Chutz mizu, this mitzvah of Maaser is an exception." Now, again, like we just said, you have machlokas haposkim. When we say that this is an exception, do we mean davka, maaser of produce, or do we mean maaser of ksofim as well would be included in this that you're allowed to test Hashem? And then you have the flip side is you have Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, even among produce, only produce which is chayiv daraisa. So you have, in short, three different opinions. You have the two mainstream opinions among poskim are that it's only maaser of produce or that it's maaser of produce and of ksofim. And then you have the das yochid of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that it applies only within certain kinds of produce.
Most people they're not farmers, they don't have produce to deal with, but most people do work and they make money.
That's true, yeah. Shanema, as the pasuk says, the Navi tells the Jewish people, you haven't been careful with truma and maaser, and it's like you're stealing from Hashem. So the Navi tells them, Havio is called a maaser or besa otzer, bring all of the maaser into the storehouse. The heat teref bevesi. There should be food in my house because from there would have the in Psukim and Ezra and Nehemiah describes how they would store it in storehouses of the Beis Mikdash, and from there they would distribute it to the Kohanim and Levim. Because after all, the whole point is the Kohanim and Levim shouldn't have to work for a living. They're working in the Beis Mikdash and their Mishmaris and teaching the Jewish people Torah the rest of the time, and for that they get Truma and Meiser. So there should be food in my house for the Kohanim and Levim. And Hashem says, "V'chanuni no bezois amar Hashem tzvokos." Test me with this, Hashem says, "Imloy eftach lachem esarubes hashemayim," that you will see. I will open up for you the windows of heaven. Vari kosi lachem bracha ad bli die, and I'll pour out for you bracha until ad bli die, until it'll be impossible to say enough. So we see, in other words, that Hashem is clearly saying, "Chonuni no bezois," you can test me with that. Why does Hashem allow you to test on that? So first of all, the Sefer Achinuch gives a reason. He says, because when you're giving Meiser, and as we're saying, it's going to the Kohanim and Levim, in effect, you're lending to Hashem. The Kohanim and Levim are Hashem's servants, and like you're, so to speak, lending them. Well, when you lend somebody money, they're obligated to pay back, and no claim is going to get them out of it. They can't claim onus, they can't claim nothing, they got to pay back. Therefore, Hashem says, no matter what, I have to pay back when you're giving Meiser, and therefore you can test me on it because it's like a loan where I'm definitely going to pay back. You're testing Hashem by saying, if I give the Meiser, then Hashem, you're going to make me rich. But nevertheless, you could still say that that maybe a person might say, I won't give as much Meiser this year, I'll play games with it like that farmer in the story before, whatever. No, so actually that's Rabbi Yochanan, and that's what I said before. I said it wrongly. Rabbi Yochanan is the one who said the Darash on an Asher Mishvul Shetazakar. Anyway, Marsha explains, and other Rishonim explain, and there are some Rishonim who explain similarly. The idea is a person is going to think to himself, what's the logic? I'm spending some of what I have, and from that I'm going to become richer. So therefore, no, Hashem is saying, B'chonuni no bezois, I'm actually allowing you to test me on that, even though it seems completely illogical. Nevertheless, I'm going to make it happen. So Maisa Ksafim, no. Maisa Ksafim, you can give Maisa Ksafim, you can give to poor people, you can give to various other forms of tzedakah as well. Yeah. So
it shows an amuna and a bitachon and Hashem helping yeah. more care and more
yeah, principle. That's what we're saying. Yeah. So the Gemara says, my ad bli die. What does this word ad bli die mean? Omer Romi Bachoma, Omer Rab, ad she yivlu sifse sechem miloima die, until your lips are going to wear out from saying die enough because you're going to have so much. Now, the word die itself, you don't pronounce with your lips. So how are your lips wearing out from saying it? So Anaf Yosef brings from earlier Meforshim, who say that it's not just based on Yerushalmi, actually, you're not just going to say die, you're going to be saying Dayenu Brochus. We've had enough Brochus. Well, the bays of Brochus you use with your lips, therefore your lips can wear out. Then there's a vote from the Baal Shem Tov that says that on the contrary, where they'll wear out in the sense they won't be used. You're going to be saying die enough. We have enough brachas so much that you're not going to be using your lips because dai is not pronounced for them, and therefore we're going to wear out from lack of use. By the way, in connection with this, in connection with Tosfos, again brings the story with the yid with his farm and then what happened over the years. Tosfos brings some other psukim from which we douse in the same idea. In other words, that when a person is careful with his maestris, then Hashem gives him a lot in return. And then Tosfos brings at the end from an interesting from Haran Ofniel a vort that when the pasuk says, which I'll explain in a second who he is, but anyway, that he says a vort when the pasuk says aser to aser es kol tvor sarecha hayoytze hasoda shana shana. The produce that goes out to the field every year. Now, what do you mean that goes out? You plant, it goes out when you're planting, but then you harvest and you bring it in from the field. So it means, in other words, this Reb Nosson explained that the Pasuk is also hinting at what Tosfos is saying, the flip side. If you don't give Maisa properly, then it hayotze hasodeh, then what happens is the Maisa that you would have been giving to the Kohanim and Levim and the poor people, instead it winds up being confiscated and being taken as taxes by Goyim. So therefore, that's how Yotza Sodas, and no matter what, it's going to go out of your field, whether for good purposes or whether for the opposite.
Says that every time you do tzedakah, refines the mark and the labor.
That's something else. That's something else. Yeah. Okay, this Reb Nosson of Finiel is worth mentioning a minute. It's really actually supposed to be a Fitziel, a tzaddik. He was an official, apparently, of some kind, which is how he got that title. About him, I don't know that we know a lot, except we can see from Tosfos over here, was a Talmud Chacham, but it's worth mentioning he had a son who inherited that title of Fitziel. His son was named Reb Yosef, And this Rabbi Yosef wrote a very cute sefer called Hamakane, where he has, or it's it has now, I don't think it's ever been published. I think it's still in manuscript, whatever. He has all kinds of arguments that he says he, over the years, he had against all kinds of popes and bishops and all kinds of things about their religion versus ours. And he has some very funny things in it, this Rabbi Yosef of Hitziel. He has, for example, one time they asked him, we know the famous question, why by Maisa Bereshis does not say Kitov by the second day? So we know there are various answers because what was made on the second day is incomplete because it was finished on the third day and because Machlokas was created. He said a cute answer. He said because on the second day, the waters were separated and some of that water was used by you guys for your religious rituals for baptism. Therefore, Hashem didn't want to say Kitov on it. A whole bunch of other things like that with a guy. This Rabbi Yosef had a great sense of humor and invested these guys at their own game plots. So anyway. So again, his father is mentioned. His father, Rav Nosson, is mentioned here in Tosfos. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. Omale, so the boy said, so after Rav Yochanan had explained that this is the one thing where you're allowed to test Hashem, Omale, so the boy says, you know what, it's true, I haven't learned Pesukim and Malachi yet, I'm only up to Chumash. If I had reached that pasuk, if I already knew that pasuk in Malachi, I wouldn't have needed you or your Rebbe Rav Hoshea, meaning you're telling me that you're allowed to test Hashem with this, and you're saying that Rav Hoshea said, chutz mizu, and he brought the pasuk from Malachi, you know what, if I had reached those psukim, I would have known that on my own, and I wouldn't have had to even ask you. Now, why is he saying? It sounds like a slightly chutzpidik thing to say. The Rif explains over here at some length, that the boy is saying, me, I don't know that pasuk in Malachi yet because I haven't gotten up to it in Cheder. But you, Rabbi Yochanan, who know the pasuk, so you were asking me to begin with Emily Psukach, because like you wanted to hear a new vort on the pasuk. Why did you even need to if you even know the pasuk in Malachi? And it's so easy that it's so easy that a boy my age would be able to figure it out. So why would Rabbi Hoshea have had to say it as such a chidush, as though like it's when it's something that's poshut to any cheder yibol. In fact, I saw a related explanation on that. There's a Gemara, I think, in Brachas, where Rish Lakish, the father of this boy, one time says an explanation on a pasuk to Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan sounds as kind of dismissive about it, and he says that kind of thing even Tanokas Rabbi Surabban, no, the deeper meaning in the pasuk. So now, sort of, Rabbi Yochanan got in return where Rish Lakish's son uses kind of the same expression back at him, that this is something that's so poshut that even kids could know it, and if I knew it, I wouldn't have needed to ask you.
Now, I want to say one quick thing.
Yeah.
I've been collecting tzedakah and giving it out since Memvav.
Yeah.
If you treat every day like it's Purim, and whoever asking for money, no questions asked, mm-hmm. just give them something, you'll see you're going to get rich and you're going to be happy and everything with good news.
Good to know. I mean, okay. The true Ashkechei Rabbi Yochanan Liyanukka Duresh Lakish. Another time, Rabbi Yochanan met up with the same son of Rish Lakish, the Yosef Omar. This boy was sitting and saying a posik. By now, he had already graduated to Ksuvim, and now he's learning a posik in Mishle. Ivelos Odom to Salif, the Pasuk says, Ivelos Odom to Salif Dargoy, the foolishness of a person messes up his ways, Ba'al Hashem Yizaf Liboy, and then his heart is angry at Hashem. And the simple meaning of the Pasuk is something like, we know all the time, a person does something stupid and therefore things don't go right, whether it means something stupid, Begashmius, or whether it means Beruchnius, because he did an Aveda and therefore he's getting what's coming to him. And meanwhile, instead of taking it, instead of that it's my fault, then he starts blaming the Eibishter for it. So Yosef Rabbi Yochanan become Masma. Rabbi Yochanan was sitting and wondering at that, not at the meaning of the pasuk. That's an obvious thing. But Omar, he says to himself, "Mi ikamidi the ksivi b'ksuvim deloyre mizi ba'oraisa." How could there be something that it says in ksuvim and is not hinted at in the Torah? Ultimately, Rashi says, Chumash is the basis of all of Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So we can never say there's nothing new in Nevi'im and Ksuvim that's not already hinted at someplace in Chumash. After all, we know the Nevi'im ein Novi Rashoi L'chadish Dover Me'ata, and everything that's from later generations is included in what Hashem told Moshe. So there has to be some kind of hint of this concept that Shlomo is saying in a Pasuk in Chumash. And Marashah teaches out a little more. There's two possible ways of understanding the Pasuk. Rabbi Yochanan previously thought that what the Pasuk is saying is sometimes you have a person who acts in a way that messes up things that he expected to happen good and they turn out not good. And then you have a person also, the same person, he acts as a Rosha and does like that. And eventually he starts doubting Hashem also. So that you don't need a Pasuk in Chumash. That's very, very obvious. You can find many Pesukim in Chumash that talk about this idea where a person starts distancing themselves from Hashem and goes midechi al dech. No, when Rabbi Yochanan heard the boy saying this pasuk, then he realized, for example, Marshall says, is basically that idea. He has a ruach shtus, and therefore that causes him to do the Aveira, and then that causes him, if he doesn't do tshuva, to go from bad to worse, and eventually to start denying Hashem. No, when Rabbi Yochanan heard the boy saying the pasuk, and apparently Marshall seems to have the girsa over here, that he said to the boy, psukha, like in the previous one, where he asked him to say in the pasuk, So when the boy says this pasuk, Rabbi Yochanan understood from the way he was saying it that the boy is understanding it as a cause and effect. Because Ivela Sadim to Salaf Darko, therefore he ends up blaming Hashem for what went wrong when he should realize that it was own fault. So now Rabbi Yochanan is wondering, where is that concept hinted to in Chumash? So the boy answers him, Otu ha milo remiza, do you think there's not a remiz for it in the Torah? As a matter of fact, there is. V'haksiv, you have by Yosef's brothers, when they're leaving Mitzrayim the first time, and they stop off at an inn over there, and then Shimon opens up his bag to feed his animal, and he finds his bag of money in there, and the pasuk says, V'yetziv libam, their hearts left them, they were nervous, V'yechudu ishal achiv, and they were trembling one to the other, lemer, and they're saying, Ma zois osar lekim lanu, what is this that Hashem did to us? Now consider, they were the ones who messed up in the first place by selling Yosef. So instead of taking the blame on themselves, this must be as a continuation of what the Eibishter is doing to us. Because of that, instead, like, they're blaming Hashem, not realizing that they're the ones who messed up in the first place. So therefore, yes, you have a hint there of this concept that Shlomo is explaining in Mishlei. Marashah says, in other words, like this. A few psukim earlier, we do have when Yosef is threatening them and puts them in jail for 3 days, and then he says, I'm keeping Shimon behind. So they did. They started being misvada. They started admitting what they had done wrong. Aval Hashem anachnu, halo yamarti aleichem, the psukim over there. So to that extent, they would. But now, when they're saying mazois osa the kimonu, still, it sounds like they're complaining, like, how could Hashem treat us this way? And what do you mean? They should realize that after all, that everything that's been happening to them is midah k'neged midah of what they did to Yosef. So therefore, they ought to realize, especially who was it that opened up his sack over there in the inn was Levi. It actually mentions on the pasuk over there, since it says vayiftacha echad, it means the one who usually has his partner with him. Levi has usually Shimon v'Levi Achim, and here Shimon is stuck in Mitzrayim, and Levi is by his own, and he opens it up. So they should have realized that everything is midah k'neged midah, because Shimon and Levi were the ringleaders in planning to kill Yosef and so forth. So they should have realized that. And instead, they're saying mazoi saser lekimonu. So it sounds like they're complaining at Hashem. So that bears out this point that Shlomo is making. There's other points on it as well. The Rif makes a point that since the pasuk says vayetze libam, that their hearts left them, so and vayechodu, and then they trembled, it means that itself, the fact that vayetze libam, like they couldn't even think straight, that itself caused them to be nervous, and therefore they're saying mazoi saser lekimonu, that made us, that we can't even think what to do. So in that sense, but again, what do you mean? How is it that we don't know what to think? We should realize it's because of what we did to Yosef all those years ago, and therefore, yeah. So the Gemara continues, Dal Eine, at this point, Rabbi Yochanan lifted up his eyes. Now we find in the Gemara in Bava Kamma, that Rabbi Yochanan had very long eyebrows or eyelashes, and they covered his eyes. Normally, he couldn't see. The Gemara mentions over there in a story involving Rav Kahana that in order for when Rabbi Yochanan wanted to gaze at something, he'd have to lift up his eyebrows or his eyelid or his eyelashes or whatever with a tool for the purpose, like a little stick, so he'd be able to see. So now he lifted up his eyes, v'chazabe, and he looked at the boy. This boy is so sharp and knows so much in Torah. I want to see him. But then the boy's mother came and took him out of the room. Omrale, she says to him, Tommy Kame, come, stay away from him, that he shouldn't do to you as he did to your father. In that story, in Bava Metzia, the whole story of how Rabbi Yochanan made Rish Lakish into a Baal Teshuva and taught him Torah over the years, the Gemara ends off the story over there that a very tragic thing happened one day. They were having a discussion in the Beis Medrash, and Rabbi Yochanan said something to Rish Lakish, which Rish Lakish took the wrong way. And then Rabbi Yochanan said something which made it sound like he didn't appreciate the value of becoming a Talmid Chacham. And the result was, because of Rabbi Yochanan's kepeda, that Rish Lakish ended up passing away. So now the mother is saying to the boy, I don't want the same things going to happen to you. If Rabbi Yochanan is machbid on you because you answered him sharp like that, then he might have the same negative effect on you. It's kepeda, so better let me take you out of it. Continues the Gemara. V'omer of Yechanan, mutter b'shvil yachid. When rain falls, rain can fall just because one person needs it. Meaning Rashi gives two examples. You can have, for example, a person who planted later than everybody else. So now the rain has fallen at the normal times. This guy, for whatever reason, didn't get around to planting at the proper time. He's planting later. Nevertheless, in his schus, Hashem can make that rain will fall for him on his account specifically. Or the other possibility, Rashi says, you can have a yid who's living in a city full of goyim. So they don't have any particular schus that they deserve rain to fall for them. But because he's living among them, the rain can fall exclusively in his schus. Parnosa b'shvil rabim. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan says, when it comes to parnosa, that there should be a generous amount of food and an ability to an ability for people to live in the world, that is b'shvil rabim. That happens only when the rabim are zoichet. So Rashi explains like this. Again, we've learned in Rosh Hashanah, and we learned references to in this Masechta as well, that the Eivishter makes the judgment on Rosh Hashanah how much rain there's going to be for the year, and he doesn't change that during the year. So you can have a case. We learned over there can be a case where the people were Rishoyim, most of the Tzibur were Rishoyim come Rosh Hashanah, and therefore the Eivishter decided there was going to be only a little bit of rain. Now, when they do Tshuva, the Eivishter makes sure that rain goes in a way where none of it gets wasted. Well, now what you have is, again, so Hashem is not going to change the din of the year, but Hashem will make sure that the rain will fall on behalf of this person, so that at least, in other words, so his grain doesn't end up being worse than everybody else's. It's not going to be that he should have a bumper crop, but at least that he shouldn't be, that he who deserves it should end up having less grain than the other people who don't. On the other hand, we're saying parnosa, that there should be b'shefa, that requires that the rabbim are acting properly, and then the Eibishter will give, either it'll be that on Rosh Hashanah to begin with, Hashem decided there'll be a lot of rain, or it'll be that Hashem had decided, because originally they were showing that there'll be very little rain, and now Hashem makes sure that all of that rain falls where it's supposed to, so none of it goes to waste. Marshaw explained, Marshaw and Ion Yaakov explained differently. Means when you have rain which causes things to grow, then that can happen because of the schus of a yochid. But when you have something that happens, for example, the Gemara is going to give us now the example of the mon, that happens only b'shvil rabim, only in the schus of the rabim. Rabbi Yochanan is saying, where do we know that rain can come just because one yochid who deserves it? Dichtiv. Yiftach Hashem l'cha esaitzarei atoiv. Hashem said that the pasuk says Hashem will open up for you his good storehouse. Losses matar arutzacha to give the rain for your land, both the l'cha and arutzacha in the singular. So it means for one person alone. And in fact, Marsha points out the brachas of klolus in general in Teres Koinim, many of them are written in the singular. Nevertheless, though, since the fact is it is in the singular, so it means that taka can be in the schus of one person. Parnosa b'shvil rabim, but parnosa, whether like Rashi says, we understand parnosa to be a generous amount that people are not just living on the edge, but that they have plenty of extra, or like Marsha says, we're talking about parnosa that comes b'derech nes, that is b'shvil rabim, that comes only when the rabim need it. Tichtiv, hinini mamtu lochem lechem min hashamayim. Hashem says, I will rain down for you, plural, bread from heaven. Well, the Gemara says, maybe then, the problem is I have a contradiction with that. Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Gimel Parnosim Tovim Omdu Yisrael. There were three good leaders who stood up, who led the Jewish people in one generation: Elohim, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Ushlosha Matonis Nitnu Al Tovis Nitnu Al Yodim. And there were three good gifts that Hashem gave the Jewish people through them. And the Elohim, Be'er V'Onon Mon, the Be'er Shal Miriam, the Anania Kavod, and the Mon. Each one of those came in the schus of one of these three leaders. And that's why we're calling them Parnosim, because through them, Parnosa and the other things that the Jewish people needed in the desert came through them. Marsha points out, by the way, Marsha refers to a Gemara in Bava Metzia, which was in Daf Yomi about a week and a half ago. There was a whole sugya over there about Avraham and the Malachim. And the Gemara mentions over there that in the schus of the various things that Avraham did for the Malachim, the Eibishter did different things for the Jewish people in the desert. He yukach no mat mayim, therefore Hashem provided water for them. He said ve'etchapas lechem, therefore Hashem gave them mon, and so forth. So how does that fit with what we're saying over here, that it's in the schus of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam? So one answer is that if it had only been for Avraham Avinu, it would have been a one-time thing. The schus of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam is that continued throughout the entire 40 years. Anyway. The well came in the schus of Miriam, Amudan in the schus Aaron, Mon in the schus Moshe. And we actually see that each one was in the source of the respective one. Mesa Miriam Nistalik Aber. When Miriam passed away, then the Be'er disappeared. And that's in Parashas Chukas. That was when Hashem told Moshe to go speak to the rock, and instead he hit it. Shenema, but Thomas Shom Miriam, as the Pasuk says, Miriam passed away there in Kodesh, and then Uchti Basra, and the next Pasuk says, and there was no water for the Jewish people. So therefore, said so that showed everybody now where so that showed everybody it was in his schus v'chazur b'schus shneihem. Now returned back in the schus of Moshe and Aaron. Marsha points out that is why it disappeared when Miriam passed away. So that everybody should realize it's in her schus that it's had that's been in her schus all these 40 years. Next, Mes Aaron nistakwa anane kovin. When Aaron passed away, then the anane kovin disappeared. So dichtiv shenemar, and we know that like this because the pasuk says we learned this in Rosh Hashanah as well. By Yishma Knani Melech Arod, the Knani, the king of Arod, heard, and we learned in Rosh Hashanah that Rashi mentions on the pasuk, Tosfos mentions it over there as well that they were actually Amalekim in disguise. They pretended to be Knanim, but anyway, Mash, and they came and attacked the Jewish people. Also in Parshas Chukas. What when it says by Yishma that they heard, what did this king and his people hear that made them come and figure it's a good time to attack the Jewish people? Shoma Shemes Aaron, he heard that Aaron had passed away, when Istakwa Anani covered, and that the Anani covered had disappeared. So he figured that means that Hashem is giving him permission to attack the Jewish people, because all the years with the Anani covered, they couldn't. And where do we see that the Anani covered had disappeared? That's the pasuk says by Yuru Kola Eda Ki Gova Aaron. The entire congregation saw that Aaron had passed away. Now that's the simple meaning of the pasuk. However, the problem with that is Marsha points out in Rosh Hashanah, how could they have seen that Aaron passed away when it was on top of the mountain over there? Only Moshe and Aaron and Elazar were there. Nobody else was there. Fine. Rashi mentions on the pasuk that they were shown a vision of Aaron's coffin, but the Gemara doesn't like that idea. We want to say that they actually saw something. Well, what did they see? So therefore, Amar Abahu, Al Tikri Vayiru Ela Vayeru. Not Vayiru, they saw, but Vayeru, they were seen. Now, until now, in other words, nobody could see them because they're surrounded by the Anani HaKavod. Now that the Anani HaKavod disappeared, then everybody could see them. And therefore, when Melech Arod heard about it, then he figured it's a good chance to attack. And how do we get that from the Pasuk? Kidur Rish Lakish. The reason is because then we understand the word ki in the Pasuk, as Rish Lakish points out, Gomer Rish Lakish ki mashamash bedalom b'shoinis. The word ki in Pesukim can have any of four meanings. It can mean e, if, dilma, perhaps, Ella, however, or Daha, because. So in other words, in the simple meaning of the pasuk, Vayiru Kol Ha'eda, Ki Gova Aaron, be all of them saw that Aaron had passed away. Rashi points out, by the way, that there are sub meanings in some of them. For example, you have sometimes Ki is translated as Kad, when. Well, Rashi says that's a subset of one of these. That's it's included in E, for example. Similarly, Targum Onkelos usually translates the word ki as array, which means that or because. So that's also a sub-meaning of one of the things over here. It's a sub-meaning of E or of Daha. Rashi here and there in Psukim points out there are Psukim that we have to understand the word ki in a specific meaning of these. For example, we have a pasuk ki soma bilvavcha, if we're you're going to say in your heart, the nations of Eretz Yisrael are too mighty. How are we going to conquer them? Don't be afraid of them. Rashi points out over there, ki can't mean if, because what would it mean? If you're going to say that, then don't be afraid of them. And if you don't say that, then you should be afraid of them. No, it means when, or perhaps, not when, perhaps you might think to say this. Well, don't, because don't be afraid of them. So over here, in other words, the simple meaning of the pasuk would be that ki means that. But now when we say Rav Abohu's Dirosha, that it's Al-Tukri Vayiru, Ela Vayiru, then we're understanding ki in the sense of Daha. They were visible, Daha, because Mes Aaron. That's Vayiru, Kaleida, Ki Gova Aaron. So now again, the Anani HaKavod disappeared. Chozru Shneim, B'schus Moshe. Now the Be'er and the Anani HaKavod both came back in the Schus of Moshe exclusively. Mes Moshe is Stalku Kulan, and when Moshe passed away, then all of them disappeared. As far as the Mon, they had the Mon stopped falling on Zion Adar, and then they ate from it for the next 5 weeks. They continued to have it, even though normally they couldn't keep from one day to the next. This was an exception, and they continued to eat from it until a few days after they got into Eretz Yisrael, and they were able to start eating Chodosh after the Omer was brought. Anyway, so Shenema, as the Pasuk says in Zechariah, The pasuk says Hashem is describing metaphorically thing events in Jewish history, and Hashem says, "I cut off the three shepherds in 1 month." Now, Poshet Pshat, we're talking about, it's talking about episodes in Jewish history involving the kings of Israel and Yehuda, but the Gemara is understanding here that the Shlosh HaSaroyim are the three leaders who were all in one time, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. So what do you mean? Did they all pass away in 1 month? While they Miriam, Mesu, and Nissan, Aaron, over Moshe, Ba'adar, they passed away, or spread out over several months. Means the three good presents that Hashem had given the Jewish people, through them they all disappeared. And they all disappeared in the 1 month that Moshe passed away, because again they came back because of the schus of Aaron and Moshe, and then the schus of Moshe alone. So the point being, in other words, Alma Ashkechon Parnosa b'shvil yachid. So here you have an example of Parnosa, whether we understand like Rashi that Parnosa means b'shefa, or whether we understand like Marsha and Ion Yaakov that it means b'derech nes, the mon fits in both categories, and it was in the schus of the yachid of Moshe. So the answer is shiny Moshe, given to Alim Schose, since Moshe's Schose is very strong, or the Girsa and the printed Gemara is the Rabim Huboy, since it was needed for the Rabim, to Rabim Dami, then that's considered the equivalent of the Rabim. So it still fits with what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, Parnosa b'shvil Rabim. In this particular case, Moshe counts as the Rabim because it's on behalf of the Rabim, or because his schus alone is as great as the Rabim. We're not holding back the rain. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Parnosa b'shvil Rabim. We'll save a drop. Yeah. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Ugo'ola. We have where the pasuk says, "Umala or Deyas Hashem Kamayim Al Yom Machasim." The world will be as full of knowledge of Hashem as the water covers the sea. So there's going to be the timely Moshe Mashiach when that's going to come true. And even among the goyim, you're going to have, as the Rambam finishes off, "Lo Yaseh Kol Olam Kuloi El Ladas Hashem Belvad." Even among them, their sole occupation will be to know Hashem. And Vahoy Salavai Amalocha. And as the pasuk also says, the kingship will be exclusively Hashem's. And that means also in all the parts of the world, in the Doimim and the Tzimeach and the we will now, in the Moshe Mashiach, we will see Koyach HaPoyol B'Nifl, the power, the energy that Hashem, the Poyol, puts into the Nifl. We know they have the Pasuk, Evan V'Kir Tizak, a stone will cry out from the wall. You have what it brings in Ayyim Yoyim on that, but they're gonna cry out and say, why didn't you, when you're walking on me, or when you're using me, or whatever, why didn't you say words of Torah? Similarly, you have the Medrash says, for example, that a fig tree, which is an example of Tzemeach, if a yid goes to try to pick fruit from it on Shabbos, the tree itself will yell at him, Shabbos Hayom. You have similar, and certainly with the Medaber, as we say in Rosh Hashanah davening, that every pole, everything that Hashem created, will know that you made it, and every Yitzur will know that Kiyata Yitzarte, and Rav Yom HaKol Hashem Neshama Ba'at. So that means the entire world, including the Goyim, will be a Dir Lo Yisparach Tatonim, and all the worlds, B'ri Yitzir Asiya, will have a revelation that now you have only in Olam Atzilus. Continuing with halachas of Shabbos, suppose you have to finish off with halachas of building and taking apart kelim. If you have a bench where a bench or a table or whatever where a leg fell off, you're not allowed to put it back. You're also not allowed to take the bench and lean it. Now you could have, let's say, you're going to take the bench with one leg broken and lean it on another one, and you'll sit on it that way. You can't do that unless you sat on it like that at least one time before Shabbos. The point is, in other words, because otherwise it's a broken keli and it's mukta. If you used it like that, leaning on something else one time before Shabbos, then it means you redesignate it as a keli. What you are allowed to do, though, is if you have, for example, let's say you have other benches, or you have bricks or piles of wood or whatever, you're allowed to put a board on them on Shabbos to serve as a makeshift bench, and that's not considered boina. And it's also not considered making an oil, as we talked about before, like putting up a folding table, whatever, in particular, because it has no walls around it. It's one thing we talked about, for example, covering a barrel or other things like that. We have a hollow space inside with walls around it. There you have a problem making an oil, but here where you're making a makeshift bench, you don't have that issue.